This is the Higher Ed Tech Podcast, episode 27. What are the rules in the new world?
Welcome to today's Higher Ed Tech Podcast. I'm Tim Van Norman, the instructional technologist here at Irvine Valley College.
And I'm Brent Warner, professor of ESL here at IVC. We both enjoy integrating technology into the classroom, which is what this show is all about.
Welcome. We're glad you're here with us.
So, Tim, how are you?
Doing well. I actually got a weekend that I wasn't putting in a whole bunch of overtime this past weekend. So I'm loving it.
How dare you? How dare you not do overtime? Unbelievable. Yeah. I'm glad to hear that. You definitely have earned a little bit of time off and a little bit of downtime. Do you feel like things are getting better a little bit?
I think they are. I think people are getting into some of the groove. Now they've moved from absolute panic to a little less than that, which is the good thing.
Mild panic.
Yes. But that's part of what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. So let's jump into it. And today we want to talk a little bit about the rules. Okay, so Tim, I think when we're going to talk about the rules, like people are saying, well, what should I do? What do I have to do for my classes now? What changes should I make? And I want to start this off by saying that we're talking about, as you had mentioned pre-show, rules with a small r, right? Because you and I are not anybody's bosses, and we're not telling people like, hey, this is absolutely what it is. So we're just trying to kind of think about like the best ways to think about things, but definitely still, you know, as we give this advice, I would still strongly suggest that people check in with their departments, check in with their schools, districts, and keep an eye on what their chairs and everybody else, deans and everyone, is saying too. Because these are some of the things that we're doing at IVC, and a lot of us are trying to do best, but not everybody everywhere is doing the same thing.
Along those lines, also keep in mind your students.
Yeah.
They, as we're going through this, they're going through this at the same time, and they will have 4 or 5 teachers, maybe, if they're taking that many classes, but they're going to have several teachers. Each of teachers is doing things in a different way. Right. So whatever you can do to standardize is helpful.
It's such a big, because I've had some of my students go, oh, my other teacher's doing this thing and they're using a different platform and all of those things. And it's like, I don't know how to, you know, it's like, do I make this change for one student? And then my other 20 students are doing the other thing. Right. So it's really hard to accommodate everybody as much as we want to do that. So let's talk a little bit about this, Tim. You've had a lot of experience in talking to teachers. What do you think, from your perspective, what does it mean to take the class from face-to-face to online in a week? 1 week.
In 1 week. That is the interesting part. We had the advantage of having spring break be the first part of our off campus. So I would call that an advantage because it did help a little, but I think everybody misses spring break. Right. they didn't have it. So basically what it meant here is that all of a sudden teachers who had never turned on Canvas, who've never thought about teaching online, now have to figure out best practices and how are they going to merge what they are used to doing to what they now have to do.
Correct. And how do they know what they now have to do, right? Because it's tricky for them.
Exactly. So a lot of face-to-face classes, teachers are used to giving a half an hour quiz in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. Or at the beginning, at the end, something like that. Unfortunately, doing that online with the tools that we have available, if the student is not paying attention and they don't hit start at exactly the right moment, they may have half an hour, but you've really only given them 15 minutes, you know, because they get started later or something like that. So it's thinking about those things is very different than what you're used to in your class.
Yeah. Let's step through that a little bit more carefully here, Tim, because I think what you're saying mm-hmm. is, that a teacher might say, okay, we've got a 30-minute quiz and everybody sits down and I hand out the quiz and I'm going to take it back in 30 minutes, right? Traditionally.
Exactly.
Now, what teachers seem to be doing online is setting both the timer and the start time and the end time to be exactly 30 minutes, right? So if you're doubling up on that, if you're saying, hey, I've got a quiz inside of Canvas, maybe it's Proctorio or if it's Quizzes Next or whatever it is, right? And it's going to start at 12:30 and it's going to give you a 30 minute timer exactly. So if you want your students to be able to take 30 minutes, traditionally in the class, you would say, well, 30 minutes, but actually we started 1 minute late or 2 minutes late. So we'll go until 1:02, right? Or whatever that is. But right. In this case, if you said, hey, it's 30 minutes starting at 12:30 and ending at 1 o'clock, then the quiz will by the computer will just cold-heartedly shut down the quiz right there at that last second with no leeway for, hey, I wasn't able to get online or my Wi-Fi cut out or, my grandma called me, you know, whatever it is, right? Anything like that that could come up, especially in these trying times. So your suggestion then is you could still have a 30-minute timer, but you could say correct, like inside of a 3-hour span or inside of a 2-hour span, right? So as long as you start whatever time they're, once they start, they're still going to get that exact 30 minutes, but it could be a little bit of a buffer zone for students if you set up your, quizzes or assignments in the right way.
Right. And even if you want to do it at the end, for instance, of your class, maybe do it for 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. Give them only 30 minutes to take it, but give them 45 minutes in which they can have done the whole thing. So if they take 5 minutes to get in, they still only get 30 minutes. And that extra 15 minutes is probably not going to bother you at all because that's at the end of your class. You're not watching them take the quiz anyway. So it's not going to affect you as the teacher, but it might make the students a little more comfortable, especially if they're using technology that you've never used in your class before.
Which is happening for quite a lot of people.
For all of us, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even for those of us who are pretty savvy and like playing with all this stuff, it's like, oh, well, I've got new things to figure out, and I've got, you know, we're all spending a lot of time with this, right? Yes. Okay. So, Tim, what other challenges have you seen?
So the other part is communicating with your students. You're used to being able to walk into your classroom and say, "Hey, today we're going to do such and such different." Mm-hmm. And it might be, oh, you know, I'm going to do a pop quiz right now, or I'm going to, we're going to have a guest speaker, anything that can come up. Well, now you need to think about that ahead of time and make sure your students know. So if you're going to be doing a live presentation, make sure you let your students in 5 and 10 minutes early. And by the way, 5 and 10 minutes late. Because I had a panicked call this morning, for instance, from a couple of different students who couldn't figure out where to find the link to get into their class. And this was, they were doing it in a synchronous way, which is a great way to teach your class. It's more like you're face to face. That completely makes sense. But the issue becomes, if the student can't figure it out, now are you there to do the tech support to help them get in? They called me, I couldn't figure out how to do it.
Right.
So, you know, all of these different nuances to try to get them in. So that's communication with the students is paramount here. Have a little grace for the students, especially in this time when everything is new. 3-4 teachers are doing things all differently. Some are going to use Zoom. Some are going to use Cranium Cafe. Some are going to do it in Canvas. Some are not going to use any of that. Each student is looking at this as this, the world is blown up and now their school has too.
Right.
So paying attention to that. It's just a lot of it has been either, watch your expectations. If you had a test scheduled for tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, is that really the best time to give your students that test? Have you really covered everything and are you comfortable that they have it? Maybe not. Maybe you need to look at the syllabus as a guideline rather than a contract. or something like that.
Yeah, we've had a little bit of that conversation too. It's like, well, you know, we have the syllabus, which we always think of our contract with our students. These are the rules, but now those things have changed, right? And so I've had, you know, student or teachers asking, well, what do I do about this, and how do I make those changes, right? And so I am trying to continue to encourage to, you know, veer on the side of humanity for your students and just say like, hey, let's figure out a thing that's going to work out for all of us. Like, we still have expectations that we want you to learn from. And there are some parts where it's just like the consistency of being able to come to class and meet with your classmates and your teachers is a valuable thing for a lot of people. But maybe we can't do those all in the exact same ways as we were planning to before. So I think there's definitely some room, but I would not recommend going harsher. I would recommend going softer and trying to figure out ways to continue to help. And following up on a previous point you had made, Tim, I really do think that design is going to be a big part of this too. So I tried to put like a big, huge button at the top of my Canvas page that says, this is where our class is, right? You got to click here in order to join our class from now on. And so making it really easily visible for the students to find out and know, recognize where you're going to be joining and where you're going to be meeting up if you're doing synchronous work.
Correct.
And speaking of synchronous, let's talk a little bit about what we should be doing for synchronous and asynchronous courses.
So at least here, we have had no mandate that you must teach your course synchronously or asynchronously. Synchronously, face-to-face course is typically considered synchronous. You are with your students at the same time that you're lecturing, at the same time you're talking, the students themselves are participating. Mm-hmm. Versus asynchronous, where you can record a lecture or record information and then they watch it at 2 o'clock in the morning or whenever it's convenient for them. So we have not specified here that you need to do either one. So we actually have teachers doing both at the same time, or either or. The key is, again, communication with your student and your expectations. Take advantage of this time and see if you can tweak things. Maybe think about flipping your classroom if that's something you've ever thought about. This is a great time to experiment gently. You know, don't, as we've talked about in previous episodes, don't do everything today.
Yeah.
Make little changes to get to where you might want to go.
Yeah, my colleagues are all taking different approaches and they're just doing what works for them and what works for their classes. And I thought that originally I thought, okay, I'm going to be doing semi-synchronous and semi-asynchronous. But as it turns out, my students are just sitting around the whole time like waiting and they want that whole time synchronous. And every single one of them in my classes are still available during my times. And so it's like, well, all right, I guess we'll just keep it synchronous during that class time. Now there's definitely moving slower because there's like a lot of the technology we're talking through and, you know, working out some of those things. But you know, it's, again, that's just my situation. And I just continue to encourage everybody to recognize what's going on for their side of things.
So two questions that we've had quite a bit are, well, not necessarily questions, things that people have at least talked about doing have to do with changing the schedule for their class or meeting their class at a time other than when they were supposed to be there. Your thoughts, Brent?
Don't do that, please. If your class is scheduled, I've got a class scheduled from 9:30 to 11:45, right? That is my time. I am not going to change that on my students. If I am going asynchronous, then one of our colleagues, she went asynchronous, but she said, but I'm doing my office hours and I'm always online available for students to come talk to me at that time. I think that's smart.
That's a great idea.
Perfect way to do it. If you're trying to go asynchronous, but you can still help out your students directly, together at the time that you always had met with them, but don't throw it way off. Don't say, hey, it's time to do a Friday night class, because you know, before I was teaching during the daytime, but now I'm going to be teaching on Friday or Saturday night, and that's what time you need to come in and meet with me. It's like, no, when students signed up, they signed up for a certain time. Keep that same time, please, because again, we know that the world has kind of gone upside down, but at the same time, you're trying to wrangle your class size. What is it? 25, 30, 50, 80 students, right? And so you're going to need to make the choice for the greater good for all of those students is going to be the time that they had already set aside originally.
Not only that, but you may be scheduling it for when they've already got a class.
Right.
Another teacher may already have that time, and you might take one student or two students, and they are now excluded from your class because you did something, mm-hmm. not because they did anything wrong.
That's right.
So, or they might have to work.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Hopefully. Yes. So there's all sorts of, you know, problems with throwing a wrench into their already, you know, people are going to work off of the schedule that they did previously know, even if everything's thrown upside down, because they're still used to that setup, right? Next semester, we can make changes and talk about that in different ways. But for this semester, I think we need to stick through with the schedules that we had determined before everything went awry.
Exactly.
So, Tim, let's shift gears a little bit here. We want to talk, we did talk about like all the problems with Zoom before, right?
Some of them, yes.
Well, sorry, not all of them, because more and more have been popping up. And now, even this morning, I listened to the news and there's like schools are running away from Zoom as fast as they can. And there's all these things going on because of the Zoom bombing, which we talked about, and privacy rights and all of these different things that Zoom was not necessarily built for originally. And so now we're getting people like saying, well, what are the different options? What can we do as alternatives to Zoom? So I know that on our campus, we have some choices and different places have different choices for their own schools and their own setups. But let's talk about a couple ones that we have available at least.
So as always, before you start with any of these alternatives, think of what you want to accomplish. What is your goal? And the reason I say that is because Zoom can be used as a tool to do a lot of different things, but if you don't know what you're wanting to accomplish, some of these tools that we're going to talk about won't do certain things that Zoom can do. Mm-hmm. Others will do all of it, but you need to think about this ahead of time, and this is for you. So first part is what we're actually doing right now. As we're recording this, we're using Google Meet.
Correct.
To go ahead and do it instead of using Zoom.
Yeah, in the spirit of experimenting and learning things that people were asking us to talk about, we figured we should switch to Google Zoom for this recording and actually test it out. So what are you thinking, Tim, like as we're playing with Google Meet right now?
It's an interesting package. I love the fact that it is captioning at the bottom. I literally have that so I can tell if what I'm saying is happening or not. Mm-hmm. So it does that. It's got the ability to share screens. It's got a lot of different capabilities. I'm not convinced on recording for this. I don't know that that's going to work as well as I would like and as well as nice as Zoom does. As you saw, it became really, really simple to get in, which is a good and bad thing.
Yeah, I'm not seeing the option for like a waiting room or, you know, any way to tell somebody that they can't come in. It seems that as long as someone has a Gmail account or any kind of Google account, they can jump right into the meeting with the link, as far as I can see.
And the reason that comes up is Zoom bombing.
Right.
We had some students that apparently were posting the course meeting information online someplace. Well, if they do that with this meeting, it would be exactly the same thing.
Right.
There's as no long as a person has a Google account, they're in.
Yeah, I'm also not seeing as much flexibility here. I'm not seeing breakout rooms as an option. I'm not sure if it's just because there's two of us, if something opens up when there's more of us going on, but it does seem pretty pretty basic in terms of what's going on. Now the quality is fine. You know, the quality, and it's nice because it's directly inside of the Chrome browser. So there's no like downloading of an app or, you know, anything extra going on there. That's pretty cool. I don't know about on the phone, you'd probably have to download it, but on my desktop, it's working directly here.
It does allow for a direct phone call in too. So that's a really nice feature. Zoom has it too, but it means that somebody could participate in your class without actually physically being on a computer. So that it's something to pay attention to as you're thinking about options.
Yeah, and I mean, it is googly, it's friendly, it's just like jump right in and get going to it. So depending on your particular situation, that might be an alternative. Now we have a pretty fancy thing in place here on campus, Tim, that some of us are getting used to, which is called Cranium Cafe. Can you talk a little bit about that?
So one of the things that a lot of people are using for office hours, online office hours, and we've talked about that, online student hours, and doing that in Zoom, this allows a lot more personal touch. Okay. Zoom, a lot of teachers, the way they would set it up, it would be general. And so anybody could get into it. And so the student really didn't want to talk about something that's personal to them. Well, Cranium Cafe, number one, we have it integrated into Canvas. The second part is for doing it office hours, the student literally knocks on your door and can come in and you can chat with several students. You can pull them all into a meeting. You can only pull one into a meeting. There's a lobby component. There's a whole bunch of different options that you can use. And by the way, if the student isn't there for you, but they really need technical support, you can maybe take them, put them into technical support and a lobby there.
Yeah.
So there's some flexibility with that on a one-on-one basis. That particular package at least is very interesting. And I'm getting more and more teachers who are really liking that concept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's definitely, there's more to it. And so yes. Zoom is kind of, I think, I guess right now I'm thinking, you know, Google Meet is super basic. Zoom is kind of mid-level, and then Cranium Cafe is has quite a lot of things going on with it. Once you get into it, it's pretty cool because the way that I think about it is in terms of like pulling, right? So you pull the student into the room with you to talk with them privately. You pull to get them. Whereas with Zoom, I kind of think of it as pushing out, and it's like, okay, here you go. Here's all the stuff that we're looking at. So if you have an option to look at Cranium Cafe, there, and depending on how many people are online at the same time, there's a lot of functionality inside of there that's worth looking at. And then also FERPA compliance too, right, with Cranium Cafe.
So one of the beautiful parts is you can, your administrator can specify that nobody can log in unless they are through Canvas, for instance. So therefore, they have to be a student or a faculty member to get in. You know, there's a lot of different things that can be done to specify and make absolutely sure you know exactly who this is coming in. So FERPA compliant, that's one of the things built into it. They've got a section called the classroom, Cranium Cafe Classroom, which also integrates into Canvas. And it allows you to have a lot of control over it. Only your students can come in.
Yeah.
Not even students from a different class, for instance, in that case. Nobody else can see it. It will send, when you create the class, the classroom in Cranium Cafe, it will send an invitation to all of your students for that classroom. And they can just click on that link and go in. They have to log in through Canvas, but then they just go right into the classroom. It's a really neat way of handling that. It does have breakout room capability. So if you're interested in that, it's a nice thing. But one of the things that becomes more difficult, and this could be a good or bad thing, but you as the moderator, the teacher, gets to determine who's talking. Oh. So you can't have everybody talking at the same time. That becomes a problem in Zoom if you don't mute all the participants. Mm-hmm. So this is a nice way of doing that, and you don't have to worry about it.
Got it.
It just automatically kind of works.
All right. So there's definitely some choices in there. There are alternatives if you're not into the Zoom thing and if you're getting scared about some of the things going on there. But you're, of course, every school and every person at different places is going to have to look for what's going to work for them.
So zippy tip for today. Thought we'd talk about something a little bit different. There's a video that's going around. I absolutely love it. It's I Will Survive Coronavirus Version for Teachers Going Online from Michael Bruning. I've avoided many of these coronavirus whatever emails, articles, anything like that. Uh-huh. But this teacher, I don't know what he teaches, but he's I would love to learn. He's just a neat guy. He built this song, I Will Survive, to the tune, I Will Survive. And you have to listen to it on YouTube. It's really well done.
Yeah. It was fun. I was avoiding too. I'm like, no, I don't need more of this stuff. But it wasn't, it actually made me feel a little better watching it. It wasn't, you know, it really is more about going online as a teacher than anything else and the struggles that you deal with, but it was clever and it was uplifting. So, it's worth a check. Okay. So Tim, we just thought we'd wrap up today, a little shorter end segment here, just about, you know, kind of trying to take a break, right? You said that you took the weekend off and you weren't on your computer on the weekend and all these types of things. We thought we'd talk about just like, we have the right to not be focused on our classes all the time. I was thinking that we could just talk about a few fun things just to help take your mind off of everything. And it doesn't mean non-tech, it can be tech, non-tech, but I thought we'd share a few ideas on, just how to relax, how to take your mind off of things. We're mostly stuck indoors these days or limited movement. What are some of the things that you are doing or that you are thinking about in terms of just relaxing a little bit?
So one of the things that I've gotten into a little bit more, I haven't been an online gamer, but online games, synchronous and asynchronous, have been really getting popular.
Yeah.
And it still allows you to have that social distance unless you're sitting next to somebody, but hopefully they're in your family or something. But online games, and by the way, doing it over Zoom, has become really popular too. Meeting with your friends over Zoom and playing an online board game,
yep,
or something.
Yeah, we've been doing that a little super nerdy, but some of us have been doing Dungeons and Dragons via Zoom. I never started playing until last year, but a few people play and they said, why don't you come and join? So I said, all right. And it's actually a lot of fun. And then we've been doing it, trying to get together once a week or every other week and just trying to do some of the online version. And it works pretty well. We're playing along and you know, definitely not thinking about like the problems of the world when you're, I don't know, fighting dragons. So any of those types of things. And then I was, as you mentioned, synchronous and asynchronous, right? Depending on what you want to do, you're like, hey, I want to take this casually. Some of those older games that were originally like iPhone and smartphone versions that were like popular early on, they've kind of made a resurgence. So I know that Words with Friends is popular again. And some of those ones where it's like, I'm going to do my round and then I'll come back 20 minutes or an hour the next day, and then I've got the round coming back to play against me. So you can jump into some of those too.
Nice.
Another one, Tim, that I found, I don't know if you've seen this, is Netflix Party. Have you played with this?
I haven't played with that yet. It sounded very interesting when we talked earlier.
Yeah. So I got it. It's just a Chrome plugin. That's all it is, right? It's a Chrome extension. And so if you have Netflix on your well, you have Netflix on Chrome, right? So you just log in and you have this thing called Netflix Party, and then you give the link to your friends and they all log in on their computers with their Chrome extension. And then they just click on the button and they use the link, and then they start on the same movie at the same second that you are starting it, right? So you can watch it, the exact movie, synchronously together with your friends. And then it brings up a chat box on the side so that you guys can chat with each other as you're watching the movie. We doubled up on this. Yeah, it was great. We doubled up on this and we said, okay, well, we just want it to be synchronous. We want to know that we're at the exact same second. And then we just lined up, you know, we had three or four of us, and we just lined up our Zoom alongside it over the chat box, right? So we didn't use the chat box, but we used Zoom so we could chat with each other and we could watch the movie. And it worked really, really well. And we just, like, you know, we chose a junky movie that we were very familiar with. So we weren't trying to, like, be involved with a heavy movie. We watched Tremors. which is a classic Kevin Bacon. You know, we all knew the movie. We just wanted to hang out with each other up and down the coast. And it was a great way to get together with some old friends.
Nice. Nice. No, I hadn't heard of that. Along those lines, though, I know my wife is meeting with a bunch of her friends across Zoom, just a Zoom party. Mm-hmm. You know, you get together. And in fact, I met with a bunch of people across the United States one Sunday night, and it was come for drinks. You bring your own drinks. Mm-hmm. And so everybody had their own drinks from their house. And we were just sitting there on Zoom talking about actually stuff having to do with this, but it was just a neat way to meet with people literally across the world. One person was from Brazil.
Yep.
So,
yep. The happy hours are going on all over the place. I did that too with a couple friends in Australia, and it was great.
So last weekend, and actually a couple weeks ago, I did the same type of thing, but I did a non-tech thing. I went for a drive, and this past weekend I went where my phone doesn't even work.
Oh, you're betraying us, Tim. How can you possibly go out of zone?
Well, I needed to, basically I have not had a day that I wasn't working in the last 3 weeks to a month. Mm-hmm. And so I needed to just physically get away. And that was the best way to do it. I drove, so it was even less chance of me doing anything. And family in the car, and we just went up north of here into the mountains and found a place to stop and eat lunch and then came home. But that 3-4 hours just was a built-in break. It was a great way to just get a break.
Yeah. I keep thinking about that too. I'm like, I'm stuck. But we can still drive somewhere, right? And then the further away you get, right, then it's cool. You can walk outside, have a little nature walk, get away from everything, go see some of the places around your state that you haven't seen before. I am adding that to my plan this weekend.
Do be sure not to go where everybody else goes, though. Because that's one of the things that we're seeing is people lining up on nature trails or something like that.
Right.
So,
yeah. So somewhere that's truly, maybe I'll just go to Area 51 or something like that.
So thank you for listening today. In this episode, we talked about the rules and what to do to take your mind off the world. For more information about this show, please visit our website at thehigheredtechpodcast.com. There you will find our podcast and links to the information we've covered.
As always, we do want your feedback, so please go to thehigheredtechpodcast.com and let us know your thoughts. And if you have ideas for future shows, there's a link on the page to give us some of your topic ideas, and we would be happy to hear from you. And of course, you know, you can always follow along on Twitter at the hashtag podcastedu, or just find us. We're here. We're home. We're watching.
For everyone at IVC that's listening, if you need help with technology questions, please contact IVC Technical Support at tech.ivc.edu. We're online there, and click on the chat link on the right. If you have questions about technology in your classroom, please contact me, Tim Van Norman, at tvannorman@ivc.edu.
And if you want to reach out to me about the show, you can always find me on Twitter or Instagram at Brent G. Warner.
I'm Tim Van Norman.
And I'm Brent Warner. And we hope this episode has helped you on the road from possibility to actuality. Have a good one.